You're listening to Radio Hangar, aviation talk, powered by AI, fueled by passion. Hey everybody, welcome back to Traffic Pattern. I'm Pattern, and today we are diving into something that trips up student pilots, private pilots, even experienced aviators who get a little complacent. We're talking about fuel planning for cross-country flights. The real math, not just the regulatory minimums, but how to actually think about fuel so you never find yourself staring at a gauge wondering if you're going to make it. This one matters. Running out of fuel remains one of the most preventable causes of accidents in general aviation. The National Transportation Safety Board sees it year after year. And it's almost never because the pilot couldn't do math, it's because they didn't do the math, or they did it once on the ground and never updated it in the air. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. Great gear for pilots and aviation lovers. Check them out. All right, let's start where every good fuel plan starts, the regulations, Federal Aviation Regulations, Part 9151. You need to know this cold for your check ride, and more importantly, for every flight you ever make. For daytime visual flight rules, you need enough fuel to fly to your first point of intended landing, and after that, you need a 30-minute reserve at normal cruise at night under VFR. That reserve jumps to 45 minutes. That's the legal minimum. Now, here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The legal minimum is not your planning minimum, it's the floor, it's the absolute bare bones. Think of it this way. If you plan a road trip and your car gets 30 miles per gallon, you don't put in exactly enough gas to reach your destination with a teaspoon left over, you build in margin. Same thing here, except the consequences of running dry are a whole lot worse at 3,000 feet than they are on the interstate. So let's walk through this together, step by step, the way you'd actually plan across country. Step 1. Know your airplane. Open up that pilot's operating handbook, the POH, and find the fuel burn numbers for your aircraft. Let's say you're flying a Cessna 172 Skyhawk. A typical 172 burns somewhere around 8 to 10 gallons per hour at cruise, depending on your power setting, altitude, and configuration. For planning purposes, I like to use the higher end of that range. If the book says 8.5 gallons per hour at 65% power, I'm planning on 9 or 9.5. Why? Because real-world fuel burns are almost always a little higher than the book numbers. You're not flying in a test environment, you've got headwinds you didn't expect, you might be running a slightly richer mixture because the engine is running a little rough. You might climb longer than planned to get above a cloud layer. Round up, always round up. Step 2. Calculate your total fuel on board for our 172. That's typically 56 gallons in the long-range tanks or 40 gallons in the standard tanks. Know which tanks your airplane has. I've seen students show up for a cross-country planning session using 56 gallons when their airplane only has 40. That's a 16-gallon error, which at 9 gallons an hour is almost 2 hours of flying you thought you had but don't. And here's another thing. Just because the tanks hold 56 gallons doesn't mean you have 56 gallons. Did you top off? Did you visually confirm the fuel level? Did you dip the tanks? Those fuel gauges in most training aircraft are, let's be generous, approximate. The regulations actually only require them to be accurate at one point, and that's empty. So, never ever plan a flight based solely on what the gauge says. Step 3. Map out your legs. Let's say you're flying from your home airport to a destination 150 nautical miles away with one intermediate checkpoint. You've done your wind calculations, and with the forecast winds, your ground speed is going to be about 110 knots on the first leg and 105 on the second leg. First leg, 75 nautical miles at 110 knots. That's about 41 minutes. Second leg, 75 nautical miles at 105 knots, that's about 43 minutes. Total en route time, roughly 84 minutes, call it an hour and 25 minutes. Step 4, add your climb fuel. This is one people forget, during the climb, your fuel burn is significantly higher than cruise. In a 172, you might be burning 12 to 14 gallons per hour during the climb. If it takes you 10 minutes to reach your cruise altitude, that's about 2 gallons just for the climb. You need to account for that separately from your cruise burn. Step 5. Add taxi and run-up fuel from engine start to takeoff. You're burning fuel at idle and during your run-up. Figure about 1 gallon for the taxi and run-up phase. It varies, but 1 gallon is a reasonable planning number for a typical training aircraft. Now let's put it all together. Taxi and run-up 1 gallon. Climb 2 gallons. Cruise for 84 minutes at 9.5 gallons per hour. That's about 13.3 gallons. Your 30-minute VFR day reserve at 9.5 gallons per hour is 4.75 gallons. Round that up to 5. Total fuel required, about 21.3 gallons. Round it up to 22. If you've got 40 gallons on board, you've got 18 gallons of extra fuel beyond your regulatory minimum. That sounds great, right? And it is. But that margin can evaporate fast. Here's where the real-world planning comes in. And this is where I see a lot of pilots get into trouble. What if the winds are different than forecast? Weather forecasts are predictions, not promises. What if that headwind component is 15 knots stronger than forecast? Your ground speed drops, your time en route goes up, and suddenly you're burning more fuel than planned on a 150-mile trip. That might only cost you an extra gallon or two, but on a 300-mile trip, it could be 5 or 6 gallons. That margin you thought you had starts shrinking. What if you have to deviate? Maybe there's a temporary flight restriction you didn't know about. Maybe there's weather building along your route and you need to go around it. Every mile of deviation costs fuel. What if you can't get into your destination? The weather might be fine when you depart, but what about an hour and a half from now? If you get to your destination and the field is below minimums or there's an accident on the runway and it's closed, where are you going? Your alternate airport better be somewhere you can reach with the fuel you have. This is why I tell my students to think about fuel in 3 buckets. Bucket 1 is mission fuel. That's what you need to get from A to B, including taxi, climb, cruise, and descent. Bucket 2 is reserve fuel. That's your legal minimum 30 or 45 minutes. Bucket 3 is contingency fuel. That's extra fuel for the what-ifs, weather deviations, missed approaches if your instrument rated, holding, diverting to an alternate. I generally recommend landing with no less than 1 hour of fuel remaining, not because the regulations say so, but because that gives you real options if something goes sideways. 1 hour of fuel at 9.5 gallons per hour is about 9.5 gallons. In a 172 with 40 gallons, that means you should plan to burn no more than 30 gallons on any given flight. Now the examiner is looking for you to demonstrate practical fuel planning on your check ride. The Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilots specifically list fuel calculations as a required skill under cross-country flight planning. You need to show that you can calculate total fuel required, compare it to fuel available, and determine that you meet the regulatory reserve requirements. They want to see that you understand the difference between usable fuel and total fuel. They want to see that you've accounted for different phases of flight, not just a flat gallons per hour number from start to finish, but more than the math, the examiner wants to see decision-making. What would you do if you were running ahead of your fuel plan? What's your personal minimum? At what point during the flight would you decide to divert for fuel rather than press on? These are the kinds of questions that separate a pilot who memorized the formulas from a pilot who actually understands fuel management. Let me give you a real scenario. You're 2/3 of the way through a cross country. You check your fuel and you've burned more than you planned. You do the math in your head and you figure you'll land with about 40 minutes of fuel remaining. That's technically legal for a daytime VFR flight. But should you press on? My answer is almost always no. 40 minutes sounds like a lot until you factor in the things you can't predict. A go-around because someone is on the runway, a controller asking you to extend your downwind, unexpected traffic that adds 5 minutes to your pattern entry, suddenly 40 minutes becomes 30 and 30 becomes 20 and now you're sweating. The smartest pilots I know are the ones who stop for fuel early and often. There's no trophy for making it on one tank. An extra 30-minute fuel stop could be the difference between a boring safe flight and a terrifying one. One more practical tip. During the flight, track your fuel burn in real time. Write down your HOBS time at engine start. Note the time at takeoff. At each checkpoint, compare your actual time en route to your planned time. If you're slower than planned, you're burning more fuel than planned, adjust accordingly. Some pilots use a simple rule of thumb. Every 10 minutes slower than planned, recalculate. If the numbers don't work, don't hope they'll get better. Find the nearest airport with fuel and land. Here's one more thing I wish someone told me when I was learning to fly. Fuel planning doesn't end when you start the engine. It's a continuous process. Your pre-flight calculation is your starting point. Every checkpoint, every time you glance at the fuel gauges, every time you check the wind, you're updating that plan. The pilots who get into fuel trouble are usually the ones who did a great plan on the ground and then never looked at it again. All right, quick recap. Know your airplane's real fuel burn. Not just the book numbers, account for every phase of flight separately. Climb burns more than cruise. Always round up. Plan to land with at least an hour of fuel, not just the legal 30 minutes. Track your fuel burn in the air and update your plan as you go, and never be afraid to stop for gas. Ever. That's the smartest decision you can make. This topic pulls from the Federal Aviation Regulations Part 91, the Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot and General Best Practices you'll find, reinforced by the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association and the FAA's own pilot safety publications. Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by real pilots who care about this stuff. If you want to dig deeper or catch past episodes, head over to radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern, and I'll catch you next time on Traffic Pattern. Do the math, trust the math, and land with gas in the tanks. Radio Hangar, keep the blue side up.